Chapter 21. Machinations. A Curious Deception. Indulgence.
"These remembrances," Zaphon said with an air of displeasure, "are everywhere. Ours arrived this month. It was not possible to deny them access to the fleet any longer. Horus's flagship has had the little rats crawling over its decks for 2 years. Can you believe that?"
Argeltar shrugged his shoulders, uncaring either way.
"Three of the poets read to the Blessed Lady, for which Cyrene is monumentally grateful. And I have a beautiful pict of De Profundis that one of them took on his first day. It almost stopped my heart to see the ship looking so grand."
Zaphon chuckled.
"You are growing soft, brother."
The two warriors had retired to Zaphon's prayer room, which was a rather immodest chamber by Argeltal's standards. The chapter master preferred Spartan furnishings and a minimum of distraction, but Zaphon's personal reflection room was decorated in a plethora of banners and old prayer scrolls cast across the table and floor. Many of the banners were from victories fought with other legions. As they talked, the chaplain added another to the hallowed ranks. This one sported the metallic skull of the Iron Warriors, emblazoned with runes around the central symbol. Several of them resembled Colchisian constellations. Argeltal examined them each in turn.
"What are these?" "Symbols of the Iron Warrior Circles. They do not name them lodges as the Sons of Horus do."
Argeltal removed his helm with a click hiss of air pressure. As always, the chaplain's festooned chamber had the lingering twin scent of dried spices and old incense.
"You were gone much longer than expected," he said. "Problems?" "Nothing worth doing is ever easy."
Argeltal flexed his hands, closing and opening them from fists. They ached. They'd ached for days now.
"That doesn't answer my question." "There were no problems," said Zaphon. "I stayed longer because it seemed prudent. Their circles are large, taking up the overwhelming majority of the Legion, but it was a critical phase. I was not the only chaplain there."
Argeltal raised an eyebrow, not realizing he was mimicking Cyrene's bemused smirk out of habit.
"Oh? Malok Cartho was there to deal with another of the warrior circles, and I was treated to several of his sermons. The air fairly reeked of brimstone when he spoke. Var Valas was there as well. Both were with the Iron Warriors after long tenures with the World Eaters."
Zaphon sighed, a satisfied sound to match the brightness in his eyes.
"The web is wide, brother. Lorgar's conspiracy spans the stars themselves. At last count, there are over 200 of our chaplains seconded to other fleets. Erebus now stands at the War Master's side. Can you give that countenance? Horus himself, heeding Erebus's words."
Zaphon laughed as he trailed off.
"It begins, brother."
Argeltal didn't share his brother's relish. A scowl darkened features that had grown continually more scarred over the last half a century.
"I do not like that word," he said, low and slow. "What word?" "The word you used. Conspiracy. It demeans the Primarch's vision. It demeans us all."
Zaphon smoothed the black war banner against the wall before stepping back to admire it.
"You are oversensitive," he muttered.
"No, I'm not. It is the wrong word, implying plotted schemes and ignoble secrecy."
"Dress it however you wish," the chaplain said. "We are the architects of humanity's ascension, and the web of necessary deceit is wide. I choose to see it in nobler terms. Now finish what you have to say. I'm releasing the Gal Vorbeck, and I have final preparations to make."
The chaplain sensed Argeltal's recalcitrance. It was hard not to.
"You are angry with me."
"Of course I'm angry with you. I have 500 warriors that haven't seen a chaplain from their own legion in almost a year. You were many months overdue, fighting with the Iron Warriors. Oros, Darmain, and Malachi are also still with Perturabo's lesser fleets, furthering the conspiracy."
He sneered through the word.
"What of Sarvareth?"
"Dead."
"What?"
"Killed 10 months ago, shortly after you left. Slain by a human of all things. An unlucky thrust with a wooden spear."
Argeltal tapped two fingers against his neck.
"Tore out most of his throat. Laid it bare to the bone. I've never seen anything like it.
Blood of the gods, I'd have laughed if it hadn't been so pathetically tragic. He bled out before the apothecaries could reach him, still trying to shout the whole time. What happened to his killer?
Agiltar had seen it himself. Sarfareth had gripped the human's shoulder and leg and pulled. The result came away in three bloody pieces before the chaplain died.
Justice happened.
Zaphen released a breath that wasn't quite a sigh. Sarfareth had been one of his own, trained by his hand to wield a Crozius in Lorgar's name. Agiltar crossed his arms over his armored chest.
Will the Iron Warriors join us?
The chaplain's smile returned.
Will they? Perturabo's legion has already abandoned the Great Crusade. I was with them on Olympia.
That couldn't be.
Olympia? Agiltar managed to speak. So soon? All of the Primarch's plans are coming to fruition. That, in truth, is why I returned. Olympia was in open rebellion against the Imperium, and the Iron Warriors declared war against their own people in desperation to pacify their homeworld. Brother, you cannot imagine the sight. The skies were black with Perturabo's gunships and landers, while the ground shook from dawn to dusk under the wrath of 500,000 war machines.
Agiltar took a slow breath, forcing an unwilling imagination to picture Zaphon's words.
A Primarch has lost control of his own homeworld. You speak as if you never believed this day would come.
Agiltar said nothing, motioning for the chaplain to continue.
All of it was orchestrated to the very finest degree. The Iron Warrior's wrath was a sight to behold. They have instigated genocide against their own people. What choice do they have now? The Core will come soon. Horus is already gathering his forces, cleansing them of unworthy elements. The Emperor's children, the Death Guard, and the World Eaters are with him. The bulk of each legion gathers in the Istvan system, while Perturabo has betrayed the Imperium in his need for vengeance. He will stand with us when Lorgar throws off the false Emperor's shackles.
The fervency in his voice wasn't new to Agiltar, but without the presence of a chaplain for almost a year, Zaphen's eager passion had faded from his memory. He found his brother's enthusiasm more unnerving than anything else.
When do we travel to the Primarch?
Soon.
The chaplain met his brother's eyes.
I told you, I returned because the time has come. Soon the call will come from Terra.
Zaphen activated the wall screen, cycling through visuals of stellar cartography. He added layer upon layer of superimposed fleet markers. Agiltar watched the display taking shape, so beautifully complex in its completion.
Tell me what you see,
Zaphen asked with a smile.
Agiltar glanced at him. I see the death of my patience. I see my anger rising at how you hold all these answers purely by virtue of your position in the Chaplain Brotherhood. I see me walking from this room without a straight answer given immediately. Such vim,
the chaplain chuckled.
Very well. Here is the Istvan system. Here, far across the western spiral arm, is Terra. Take note of the compliances being carried out in the subsectors closest to Istvan. Now, humor me. What do you see?
Agiltar recognized symbolizing runes from four legions, and no others. It formed a curious pattern, notable for the lack of Imperial army or Mechanicum battle fleets, as well as the total absence of many notable legions.
I see the hand of the War Master at work, said Agiltar. He has positioned certain fleets closest to him at Istvan. These fleets could reach the system within a matter of days. Those on the outer arc will take longer, but this is an immense gathering of force.
Agiltar looked at Zaphen, reluctantly drawing his eyes from the twinkling stellar ballet.
Now tell me why. Forgive me, brother. Little did I realize the frustration of isolation you've suffered in a fleet burdened by Custodes' presence. Your duty was to maintain the lie, and you've done so to perfection. But you are owed enlightenment.
Zaphen cancelled the cartographic imagery and continued,
Horus and Lorgar are already moving against the Emperor. The War Master has sworn devotion to the hidden gods and now walks in their light. For now, the warp is pregnant with unrest, leaving much of the Imperium blind. Many of the established warp paths are severed from each other by etheric storms. The tumult will only grow worse, giving us enough time to enact the Primarch's will without fear of Imperial retribution. Such is the influence of the true gods. The warp itself is their canvas, and they paint to please us.
The Master of the Serrated Sun let his scowl speak for him. He took offense to the way Zaphon insinuated they were no longer Imperial, purely for contemplating regicide.
We are overthrowing a stagnant and ignorant ruling order. We are bringing enlightenment to our people, not ending the Empire.
Go on, he said. A call will reach us soon. A panicked plea that every astropath in the fleet will hear at once. A call from Terra. The Emperor will soon learn of Horus's rebellion, and what choice does he have? He must order the closest legions to destroy the War Master's traitorous forces.
Argeltal pictured the legion signifiers flashing closest to the sun named Istvan.
Horus will be destroyed.
The chaplain laughed, relishing the moment.
He will be entrenched on an impregnable world, commanding four legions. What could destroy him? The seven legions tasked with doing so. Even with the Iron Warriors at our side, the other five legions remain under the Emperor's aegis. Six against five. Our losses will be catastrophic. How can we illuminate Terra when the legions sworn to Lorgar and Horus are bloodied and broken?
Zaphon didn't answer immediately. His brother recognized something in his face, some creeping disquiet close to the bladed edge of mistrust.
Do you have such little trust in your own legion's chaplains that our work has failed to turn the Night Lords or the Alpha Legion? Lorgar has worked for half a century to spread the truth to those ears worthy of hearing it. Every legion we need will be at our side. The Loyalists will find nothing but extinction waiting for them on the surface of Istvan V. They will never leave their drop sites alive, Argeltal, I promise you that. This conspiracy, said Argeltal, disgusts me. It is the Primarch's plan brought into being by Horus himself.
Argeltal shook his head.
No, this is not Aurelian's work. This is Erebus and Corpheron's doing. Their treacherous stink comes off this vision in waves. Lorgar is a golden soul, a being of light. This shadow play comes from the dreams of much smaller, darker men. The Primarch, blessings upon him, loves that foul wretch. He embraces a viper to his breast and names it Father.
You should not speak this way of the Master of the Faith.
Master of the... Argeltal laughed. Corpheron, Master of the Faith. He coats himself in titles the way a killer's knife is laced with poison. Truly, I have been isolated from the Legion too long. If Corpheron is now beloved of the masses, you of all people, Zaphon, you loathed him. An impure soul, a false Astartes, your own words, brother.
Zaphon looked away at last, unwilling or unable to hold the gaze any longer. Nothing broke eye contact like shame.
Times change, the chaplain said.
So it seems.
Argeltal closed his hands into fists to ease the pain in his bones. It didn't work. His knuckles went on throbbing.
Just get on with it. I have a world to bring to compliance.
If you please, I have questions of my own.
Ask, said Argeltal, and I will answer.
Cyrene, Zaphon began. She has undergone more rejuvenation treatment. Do not look at me, nor should you accuse her of vanity. An astropathic order came from the Primarch himself some time ago. He still holds her in high regard and expressed his desire that she go through another cycle of treatments.
Zaphon nodded.
And Aquilon?
Argeltal's expression was unreadable.
As before. He knows nothing and suspects even less. His messages to the Emperor never leave the fleet.
My failsafe?
Is still in effect. Have you checked yourself?
The chaplain knew his brother found certain methods distasteful.
It is integral you check yourself.
I have, said Argeltal. Nothing has changed. Put it from your mind.
Then I am sanguine. Nevertheless, I will renew the wards tonight.
He moved over to his writing desk and unclasped a great book from where it was chained to his waist. Slowly, reverently, he leafed through the pages of the great leather-bound tome. through pages and pages of elegant scripture, mathematical designs, astrological diagrams, chanted invocations, and ritual formulae. Argyltal ached to step closer and read the secret spilled from the Primarch's mind. Truly, Lorgar was sharing a great deal with the Legion's chaplain brotherhood.
"You have added much to the book," he noted.
"I have. Each month we receive new chapters and verses for the holy work. The Primarch's mind is aflame with ideas and ideals, and we are honored to hear them first. Thousands of epistles now grace these pages."
The 1301st's databanks would never be allowed to archive digital copies of the Primarch's scriptures, for such information could be accessed by the wrong souls. Instead, the Serrated Sun's chaplains each carried their own copies, chained to their armor, forever adding to them as the word grew and spread, using them to preach at secret sermons. Argyltal had taken Sar-Phareth's Book of Lorgar from the chaplain's corpse, incinerating it on the battlefield, committing necessary blasphemy to prevent the tome ever falling into unintended hands. The chaplain took a slow breath.
"I have been gone too long, Argyltal. You're right. I was lost in manipulating the dull-witted laborers of the Fourth Legion, when in truth I desired nothing more than to be here with my brothers, preaching the evolving word of Lorgar."
"Apology accepted," said the Crimson Lord. "And you have 38 minutes before planetfall. I will see you on the deck before the rising sun."
Zaphen was reading the data screed, scrolling over his eye lenses.
"There's an order for the coming engagement sanctioning the presence of remembrancers during combat operations. That cannot be correct, for I know you would never acquiesce to such a thing."
Argyltal grunted something that wasn't quite an answer and made his way to the door.
"Wait!"
Argyltal froze, already at the chamber door.
"Yes?" "Think of all that has come to pass, brother. Focus upon how events are flowing faster towards the inevitable insurrection. Are you feeling anything within you? Any changes?"
The chapter master's hands ached with sudden ferocity. It was as if his knuckles and wrists were hinged by broken glass. Without knowing why he did it, Argyltal lied.
"No, brother, nothing." "Are you?"
Zaphen smiled. Making war upon another human culture was always a distinct kind of poison, and Argyltal loathed every time it became necessary. These were unclean wars, and fought with bitterness bred into every soul doomed to take up arms against the Imperium. It wasn't that the enemy dared resist that discomfited the Crimson Lord, nor was it the expenditure of munitions, or the fact each of these worlds was peopled by defenders he came to admire for their tenacity. Those aspects grieved him, but the waste of life and potential from their defiance, that was what left scars. He tried to raise the point with Zaphen in the past. With characteristic bluntness, the chaplain had lectured him on the rightness of their cause and the tragic need to crush these cultures. Such discussion told Argyltal nothing he didn't already know. Similar talks with Dagotal and Malnor had progressed the same way, as had one with Torgal. The Gal Vorbach dispensed with all ranks outside of Argyltal's own, rendering all its warriors equal under the chapter master, and the former assault sergeant had struggled hardest to understand what Argyltal was trying to explain.
"But they are wrong," Torgal said. "I know they are wrong. That's the tragedy. We bring enlightenment through unification with mankind's ancestral homeworld. We bring hope, progress, strength, and peace through unmatched might. Yet they resist. It grieves me that extinction is so often the answer. I pity them for their ignorance, but admire them for the fact they will die for their way of life."
"That is not admirable, that's moronic. They would rather die being wrong than learn to embrace change."
"I never said it was intelligent. I said it grieved me to reave a world clean of life because of ignorance."
Torgal mused on this, but not for very long.
"But they're wrong," he said.
"We were wrong once, too."
The chapter master held up a gauntleted fist to make the point. It was crimson where it would once have been grey.
"We were wrong when we worshipped the Emperor."
Torgal had shaken his head.
"We were wrong,"
and we adapted rather than be annihilated. I do not see the source of your grievance, brother.
What if we could convince them? What if the flaw is with us, that we merely lack the words to win them to our side? We are butchering our own species.
We are culling the herd.
Forget I mentioned it, the chapter master conceded. You are right, of course.
Torgal would not be moved. Do not mourn idiocy, brother. They are offered the truth and they have refused. If we had resisted the truth unto destruction, then we would have deserved our fate, just as these fools deserve theirs.
Argeltal hadn't tried again. A treacherous and unworthy thought plagued him in those grimmest moments. How much of his brother's unquestioning belief was born of their own hearts, and how much was bred into them by their gene seed? How many souls had he consigned to destruction himself, silently urged into bloodshed by sorcerous genetics? Some questions had no answers. Reluctant to burden Cyrene with his own troubles when she already served as confessor for hundreds of Astartes and Ukas soldiers, the only other time he'd spoken of his unease was with the one soul he knew he needed to guard against. Aquilon understood. He understood because he felt the same, sharing Argeltal's subtle lament at the need to destroy entire empires simply because their leaders were blind to the realities of the galaxy. The latest world to earn destruction was called Kallis by its inhabitants, and 1301-20 by the 1301st Expeditionary Fleet. A planet-wide invasion was in the making, even as Kallis's primitive orbital defences fell, burning back into the atmosphere. The population was sentenced to destruction on account of their dealing with Xenos breeds. The pure-strain human biological code of Kallis's citizens had been unalterably corrupted by the introduction of alien genetics. The people of the world below would not surrender the exact details to the Imperium, but it was clear from blood samples that the Kallisians had cultured alien deoxyribonucleic acid into their own cells at some point in time.
Most likely to cure hereditary or degenerative disease, Torvus suggested, but the reason was meaningless. Such deviation could not be tolerated.
General Jesmatine's Yukar regiments were tasked with taking hold of 12 major cities across Kallis's scarce landmasses, each with support from several Astartes squads. The capital city, a sprawl of industrial decay by the name of Kratia, was also the seat of a planetary ruler who claimed the evidently hereditary title of Psychopomp. It was this woman, Psychopomp Shal Ves Nalia IX, that had rebuffed the word-bearer's emissaries, and it was this woman, swollen with corpulence, who had signed her culture's death warrant.
Leave the capital untouched, Argeltal had informed Balok Torvus at the preceding war council. I will release the Galvorbach upon Kratia and take their queen's head myself.
The fleetmaster had nodded.
And what of the remembrances? They've barely been with us a fortnight. Yet already I'm suffering hourly beseeching from their representatives, begging that they be allowed to witness an assault.
The Crimson Lord shook his head.
Ignore them. We are conquering a world, Balok, not nursemaiding tourists.
Balok Torvus had grown deeply patient in his advancing age, which was one of the Fleetmaster's many virtues that his men admired and his fellow commanders relied upon. Argeltal saw the beginnings of cracks in that ironclad facade now, showing in the lines around the aging man's eyes and the way he adjusted his white cloak to calm himself before replying.
With respect, Lord.
Argeltal raised a hand in warning.
Don't fall into formalities just because you disagree with me. With respect, Argeltal, I have been ignoring them on your behalf since their arrival, and for over a year before that. I have mouthed platitudes and composed missives, refusing them access to the fleet, citing 100 and more reasons that it would be inappropriate, impossible, or impractical to deal with them. Now they are here, and they come equipped with Imperial seals from the Sigillite himself, demanding that they be allowed to record the Great Crusade. Short of shooting them, and don't think I can't see that smile, how am I to continue delaying them?
Argeltal chuckled, the first break in his foul mood the Fleetmaster had seen today. Whatever news the returning chaplain had brought, it was not sitting well with a chapter master.
I see your point. How many have joined the fleet?
Torvus consulted a data slate.
112. Very well. Make them choose 10. We'll take them down with us in the first wave and give them a minimal army escort from the Yukars. The rest can follow once the landing zones are secure. What if they encounter significant opposition?
Then they die. The Crimson Lord made to leave the room.
I do not care either way.
Torvus took several seconds to make sure Argyll Tarr wasn't joking.
By your word,